Amen. You mind the Lord, brother?
Thank you, preacher. Thank you, Brother Frady. Exodus chapter number 3. If you're able, would like to stand for the reading of God's word tonight. Exodus chapter number 3. Before I read tonight, I do want to say I do appreciate the privilege to be here in these nights. And again, I recognize that Brother Bob was supposed to be here preaching, and but the Lord knows about all things, and I do pray the Lord will continue to bless him and raise him up, that he'll soon be able to do the things that God has called him to do. And I do want to say I appreciate every time that I have heard him preach and been a privilege to preach with him a few times, and what a blessing it is. And I praise the Lord for the privilege to be here, for the men of God that support this meeting. I appreciate the moderators and musicians and all that make this meeting what it is. And I know you have many great days ahead, tomorrow and over the weekend and then next week with Brother Davis. I know that'll be a great blessing and encouragement, and I hope you'll be strengthened through the word of the Lord. I have been looking at in the scriptures on the subject of being alone with God, and on Monday we looked out of the Psalms at the benefits of being alone with God, and then we looked at the basis of being alone with God from Daniel, using the simple things we have, the burden for being alone with God from Hannah. Last night, the beginnings of being alone with God through panting and thirsting after God. Tonight, I want us to look in Exodus 3 at the backside of being alone with God. Now, Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. You may be seated. We thank God tonight for the reading of the Word of God. When the book of Exodus opens, Israel has been in crushing and cruel bondage for several generations down in Egypt. They are beginning to cry out to God for help. And we know the story. God will hear their cry. Joseph, the rescuer of Egypt, God's man to help them survive the famine, he has died. The Bible tells us in the early chapter of this book that Egypt has forgotten about Joseph. Pharaoh develops a deep-seated fear of the Israelites, and he wanted to destroy their national and tribal identity. You ever wonder why he wanted to kill the slaves that were building his empire? That seems odd and seems strange. Same reason men want to kill Jews today. It is to rid the world of their national identity, their tribal identity, but most of all, their relationship to God as his chosen people. So Pharaoh had ordered the killing of all male babies at birth. So Moses, the subject tonight of chapter 3, verse number 1, was born in a dangerous time. His mother decided literally to place her child in God's care. Instead of allowing him to be cast into the Nile, she set him afloat in that same river, alone with God, trusting God with the outcome. So tonight is not the first time that Moses will be alone with God when he's here at the bush that burned but was not consumed. His mother put him out there alone with God and trusted God with the outcome of his life. In Exodus chapter 2, verse number 10, time has moved on. But in chapter 2, verse number 9, Moses is about 3 months old. Two verses later, in verse 11, Moses is 40 years old. You think you're getting old in a hurry. He went from 3 months to 40 years in two verses. How do we know that? Acts 7:23 tells us that was his age at this point in his life. I say this tonight to get to where I want to go. Up until this point in Moses' life, he had lived what we would call a bicultural life. He had certainly been raised under Hebrew influence, with his own mother being paid by the devil to raise him. He certainly had been under Hebrew influence. We know that from the New Testament book of Hebrews. But he had also been under Egyptian influence in his education and in his upbringing. So there are two streams of influence that have flowed into Moses' life. There is the influence of both Egypt and the Hebrew faith. There is the insight of both Egypt and the Egyptian belief system. There has information come to Moses from both his mother and also from the land of Egypt. Now, when you get two streams of influence and information and insight feeding into your life, at some point in time, you've got to decide which stream to feed. You've got to decide which current to follow and which river to go down. And tonight, God will bring Moses to a place where he will meet with God. He will be alone with God, and God will settle some things in his heart. It may take 40 years for all of it to develop and to unfold, but God will get Moses alone with him and settle some issues about who he is, what he's supposed to do, and where he's supposed to go. I believe I pastor some people tonight who are still debating over which stream of influence that they are going to follow. There's young people here tonight who will still have to make that decision. There are adults here tonight who should have made that choice a long time ago, but you're going to have to make that choice. Let me say tonight, don't make it anywhere else than when you're alone with God. Make that decision when you're alone with God, and you'll do the right things that God would have you to do. So here we come tonight to the backside of being alone with God. Every life in here tonight revolves around one main point in life, and that is when you encounter God, when you meet with God as He really is. I understand that we live in a different age than that from which we've read tonight. Your life, however, still revolves around your meeting with God. That meeting oftentimes comes in the early stages of Holy Spirit conviction. It comes at a point when God deals with us. Some of us as young people and children, the Holy Spirit deals with us. And then we meet Jesus and we come face to face with God's Son and what He wants out of our life. There's nothing any less significant when Saul of Tarsus met with Jesus on the Damascus Road than there is when Moses meets with God here on the backside of Horeb. Either way, it's a meeting with God. I believe in my heart tonight, God has brought some people in these nights of meeting. God has brought some people face to face with Him. I don't know what people have done or what they will do, but brother, when you come face to face with God in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, you'd do well to echo the words of the great Apostle Paul. Lord, I'm here, whatever you have me to do. Lord, I am here. I'm bowed before you, and I want to be your servant, and I want to do your will and follow your plan. Everything you are tonight, everything you do, everything you hope for will lose meaning if you fail to get alone with God. No matter what your vocation is, graduates that are here tonight, college students, whoever you might be tonight, it matters not what all of those dreams and plans are. If you fail to get along with God in the midst of all of that, then all of that is vain and empty. Time is no object with God. God's in no hurry. He could have met with Moses 20 years prior to this had he chosen. God could have met with Moses when he was a 9-year-old boy, like he met with me when he saved me that night. God's in no hurry, but God has a plan. God has a course for every one of us tonight. And when that meeting occurs, it doesn't matter whether it's on the backside of the desert at Mount Horeb or whether it's in the altar at a camp meeting or a church. Thank God when that time comes, be open and ready to do the will of the Father and follow His great plan. Where you are tonight is no problem to God. It's a problem to you and a problem to a lot of other people, but it really isn't any problem to God. God knows exactly where you are. What you do for a living is no problem to God. Where you are vocationally, financially, spiritually, that's no problem with God. It's about to drive you crazy, but it's no problem to God. God can meet you on the backside of nowhere. God can get alone with you when you're not even looking to get alone with God. There are people tonight who think they can't get alone with God unless they initiate the meeting. I want to tell you, most times you get alone with God, it isn't you that initiates it anyway. It's God that initiates the meeting. Whenever this book is open to me, 9 times out of 10, it's not me looking for something. It's God showing me something that I wasn't even looking for. That's the God we serve tonight, who will meet us on the backside of life. I want to say a word tonight about the backside of the desert. That's an interesting statement in verse number 1, the backside of the desert. It's interesting for a lot of reasons, but as all preachers know here tonight, or should know, the law of first mention is always interesting, and especially when you have 2 first mentions in the same verse, and then 2 first mentions within 2 words of each other. But that's the case tonight with the word backside and the word desert. They appear here in Exodus 3 for the first time. Now the word desert means to speak. It comes from the Hebrew word that means to speak. So Moses is about to be alone with God on the backside of nowhere. He's in a place that is defined as speaking. God is about to speak to Moses in a place where nobody would ever have expected that God would speak. Now notice with me this word backside. It is a very interesting word as well. It means behind or afterwards. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he, speaking of Moses, led the flock to the behindward parts of a place of speaking. That's what God is saying in this verse. God has so designed it that Moses, now Moses has been in some very influential places in his life. Brother, I'm telling you, being raised in the palace down in Egypt, that's no fly-by-night stuff. I mean, he's been in some high cotton, but now he's not in high cotton. He's in dirt rotten. That's exactly where he's at. I mean, there's nothing on the backside of the desert. There's nothing back there at Horeb where Moses is. He's in the desert. But the desert is the place where God will find himself alone with Moses. It's where God will speak. Some of you are sitting in places tonight and you can't see any way possible that you can be alone with God where you are. I'm telling you, if you're alive and God's alive, I don't care where you are tonight, there's a great possibility of God meeting you. It doesn't matter who you are and where you are. If you're alive and God's alive, there can be a wonderful meeting right here tonight. He's in the desert. Moses is in a place where he can speak to God. Now, Moses has heard some mighty powerful voices in his day. Now, God's obviously spoken to Moses in other ways. He's spoken to Moses through his mother. He's spoken to Moses through the teachers in Egypt. He's even spoken to Moses in Exodus 2:13 through them two men that saw him kill the Egyptian. So it is not that God has not been communicating with Moses in certain ways, but God has never communicated to Moses like he's about to communicate with Moses. God has spoken with me and communicated with me all of my life. But I still have hope tonight that no matter how far on the backside of nowhere I get in life, that God will still meet with me and God will still speak with me and God will let me be alone with him on the backside of life. Desert places are quiet places. That's why some of us can't speak with God. We never get quiet enough to hear from God. How do you get quiet in our world? I don't understand. The only place I know quiet is in the dictionary. You can't find it anywhere. You go get your teeth worked on, they're playing music. You go have surgery, they're playing music. You're out of it and don't know it. You're probably glad if you knew how the doctor was cutting you to some rap band. You probably wouldn't like to even hear about it at all. We live in a very boisterous and racket-filled age. The last time I remember any quietness of any significance was the Monday morning after Hurricane Hugo. I remember hearing birds sing and chainsaws. Other than that, you didn't hear nothing going on. We need a quietness to come across us tonight so we can hear the voice of God and so we can be alone with God. Deserts are quiet places. There are few competing voices in deserts. There's so many competing voices for you tonight. Some of you who have your cell phones turned off, you're about to vibrate to death, and you're wondering who is wanting you. Somebody has just texted you and told you that they've got up from the couch and went in the living in the kitchen and got a milkshake and they've come back. And you need to know that. The world hinges on whether or not you know where that person you just talked to 2 minutes ago, you need to know that. They'll text you in a minute and say they're done and taking the cup to the sink. And you need to know that stuff. That's how the world keeps going tonight. There are so many competing voices. There are so many things tonight that's going on in life. But God has taken Moses down to a place where there are no competing voices. There's no cell towers at Mount Horeb. There's no cell service on the backside of life. But there is a God on the backside of life who communicates with his children. Deserts are barren places. Nothing much to see. Bless God, that's about to change. Deserts are fearful places, make you think that you're forgotten. A desert can be a confusing place. It's hard to find a landmark or a guidepost when you're in the desert. Have you ever noticed Baptists are living tonight like they don't know where they're at and they don't have a clue where they're going? It's kind of like Dr. John Phillips told in one of his books about the airplane pilot who came on and after a couple passengers who had flown that course and that route many times, they were looking at they knew something wasn't right. They kept pressing the flight attendant and said, and finally the captain came on and he said, "I want you to know everything's fine." He said, "But all of our instruments are out." He said, "We don't know where we are." He said, "But I want you to know we got a great tailwind and we're making good time. But we don't have a clue where we are." That's about where we are tonight. Listen, a desert is a confused. Some of you are living tonight, honest to God. You ain't got a clue if you're 100 miles within the will of God or within the plan of God. You say, "Preacher, I'm on the backside. It's lonely. I don't see any landmarks where I'm at. I can't hear God where I'm at." Hang around, child of God. He will meet you on the backside, and he will speak to you in that place in life. So here they are on the backside of the desert. As I said, the word backside means behind or afterward. Now, the Hebrews had an interesting way of deciding where they were. They faced east, and everything behind them, which would have been west, they called the backside. North, south, east, and west were determined on the basis of the direction they were facing. They faced east toward the rising sun, and by that they would determine what was north and what was south, and then it was pretty obvious what was west. And that's what they called the backside of the desert. In other words, where they are is exactly opposite of where they would want to be. Moses is way back here, east, the rising of the sun. That's where he should be headed. But God's got him on the backside of the desert. You may feel like you're there tonight. Now, can you believe this? This man Moses, trained in all the schools of Egypt, with all of his knowledge, all of his education. Now, it's obvious the man's a good fighter, because he just killed an Egyptian. But now he's on the backside of nowhere, living with his father-in-law's little flocks out there in the middle of nothing. Did God spare this baby from the crocodiles and Pharaoh's drowning? Did God spare him to let him keep sheep on the backside of nowhere? Did God invest all that education in him to let him live and die out here in the middle of this away place called the desert? Well, the answer is no. However, God has to bring Moses through the backside before he can use him on the front side. And I want to say tonight, Baptists are trying to get to the front side of everything without going through the backside of anything. You'll never be worth a dime up front until you spend time alone with God on the backside. You'll never be worth a dime. A preacher will never be worth anything up here until he's invested time with God down there. Amen. It doesn't matter how much you talk to the people about God if you don't talk to God about your people. And God has taken Moses to the backside in order to get him where he wants him. Here he is looking over this little flock in the middle of the desert. I want you to know the backside may be the most horrible place you've ever been in your life. But I want to tell you in a few minutes, it can be the most wonderful place you've ever been in your life to be alone with God. No voices competing, nobody pulling you on the coattail, just you and God and the calling that God has placed upon your life. I want to mention, and I'm going to be quick, I promise you. I do lie occasionally. And you'll find out in a while whether this is one of those occasions or not. But I understand you've had a long week. I understand that. But I want to say I want you to look at this very simple in three aspects of being on the backside and along with God. I want you to remember tonight, when you're on the backside, you have no one to impress. When you're alone with God, there's nobody to impress. Right? Right. Now, I know none of these other preachers have this problem, but occasionally, even when I'm preaching, I see somebody in the congregation that I want to impress. Now, you wouldn't think that would bother a preacher, but it does. I love what Dr. Thad Dowdle said to one of the students at West Lenoir years ago. He got ready to open up the class, and one of the little preachers who came in, you know, sometimes they come in and they know everything, and they want you to know they know everything. But normally the first test settles that little problem. But he looked up at Dr. Dowdle and said, "Are you qualified to teach me Greek?" And Dr. Dowdle looked down over his glasses at that boy and said, "Son, I'm qualified to teach you anything." There you go. Sometimes we think we've got to impress people. So God takes us to places where there's nobody to impress. Nobody to impress. Up until now, every time Moses made a move in the kingdom of Egypt, somebody was watching him. You say, how do you know that? Because them two men saw him when he killed that Egyptian. Moses was in Pharaoh's house. You remember the story. Don't make me go back and spend a lot of time. This man has a powerful reputation down in Egypt. Somebody's always watched him. Somebody listened every time Moses opened his mouth. Every time Moses done anything, somebody was judging him, evaluating him, expecting something. Every time he walked down a street in Egypt, heads turned and they said, "That's the boy that they got out of the Nile, the king's daughter, and he's been raised up here. See the skin? He's a Hebrew." And they would talk about all of that stuff. But I want you to know God's got him in a place now where nobody's evaluating, nobody's judging, nobody is saying a thing about him, because there's nobody there to impress. He's alone with God. Now I want to say tonight, as bad as the backside can be, thank God it can be a blessing not to have to impress anybody. Amen. Just be alone with God. The desert could care less what your name is. Amen. The desert could care less what your grade point average is. By the way, students, most of that concern over your GPA is so it'll look good on somebody else's book and so they can get their budget satisfied, and they really don't care about what you're learning. I said in most cases that's the way that it is. Nobody cares where you work, where you pastor, how long you've been chairman of the deacons. That stuff don't matter when you're on the backside. You don't have anybody to impress. When I see a man try to impress me in the church with his authority, he hadn't been on the backside. When you see a preacher trying to impress you with his credentials, he hasn't been on the backside, because if you get on the backside, there's nobody to impress. When you're alone with God, nobody to impress. So the backside is not that bad when you really look at it. Now, it's humiliating to be on the backside, because many of us think we ought to be on the front page. Maybe you're there tonight. A spiritual failure, a loss of position or cut in pay. Some of you folks tonight ought to be making $10 more an hour than what you're making, but you're just holding on trying to survive. That can be humiliating. Some have been turned down, overlooked. Some of you tonight's just been plain rejected. There's ladies here tonight, your husband has just turned away from you, or vice versa. You're all the way on the other end of where you were headed. There's preachers tonight really intended to have their church on down the road, but for whatever reason tonight, They're backside Baptists. They're all the way the other way from where they intended to be. That may not get applause from your preacher brothers, and it may not get you a promotion and a pay raise, but I want you to know tonight God takes a notice of a man who's on the backside of everything, and God will meet with him, and God will help him. Cheer up tonight. You don't have anybody to impress. You're alone with God, and you can't impress him, so you don't have a thing to worry about tonight. He's the best possible one to be alone with when you're on the backside. My pharmacist in Statesville used to have a picture hanging over the cash register back there of an old goat standing on a mountain, on a rock, just hundreds of miles. All you could see was the old goat. And underneath it, it had this caption that read, "I'm so far behind, I think I'm first." And I've often thought about that. That old goat was, he couldn't even see the goats ahead of him. And so he finally come to the conclusion that he was ahead. Some of us need to get off the fast track tonight and quit trying to impress everybody. And if you're on the backside, admit you're there tonight and ask God to speak to you and ask God to help you. Quit trying to act like you're making $80,000 a year when you're not really making but $28,000. And just be honest with God. Quit trying to act like and impress. There's nobody to impress on the backside. So if you're on the backside tonight, you have no one to impress. There's nobody to impress. Number two, when you're on the backside, there's no one to impress you but God. Amen. When you're on the backside, you have no one to impress. And when you're where Moses was, there's nothing and nobody going to impress you but God. Now you keep in mind, this man has seen some mighty fancy stuff in Egypt. The magicians, all of that stuff they do down there, all that fancy Egyptian stuff. Moses had seen all of that. There ain't a whole lot to see on the backside of the desert except land opened up and a few little sheep. Moses could make a big educational statement and them sheep just kept grazing or trying to find something to eat. They never even looked up and acknowledged that he spoke. Hear me tonight. When you're on the backside, there is no one to impress you but God. Remember here, look at verse 1. He's even at Horeb. That's where he's at. He don't know where he's at. But let me just remind you. Moses at Horeb, right now, Exodus 3:1, he is standing in the shadow of the mountain where God in just a little while will light up with fire and thunder and an earthquake. But he don't know anything about that, because he hadn't been alone with God yet. You say, "I'm sitting right here preaching in this little church, pastoring, and I'm just stuck in my little home. I wanted to be making twice the money for my little wife and children. Preacher, I'm just stuck here. I'm never going to get out of here." Listen, you may be sitting at the base of Mount Sinai tonight. You may not know it, but God, listen, God may have a whole run of fireworks just waiting on you tonight when you get along with God. You may think you'll never get out of the backside, but thank God for where you are tonight. God can do something where you are, even though you don't remember and don't know that he can still do something where you are. What a God we serve tonight. There he is on the backside, no one to impress you but God. 4 decades have went by. 40 years. We have no record of God speaking to Moses, not once. No voice. No vision, no angel bringing him breakfast. At least Elijah had that. No signs, no rebukes, just sheep. That's all he had every morning. This is the baby that God spared from the crocodiles. This is the little boy that God let Pharaoh change his diapers and educate. This is the boy that God will raise and eventually deliver God's chosen people. But right now, he's on the backside. Now, all the television boys will tell you that You can't hear from God till you get this and this and this and this, and you sow a seed in this and this and this and this and this. Let me paraphrase that. You'll never get in the super spiritual life till you help them buy the airplane they want and the condos that they want in life. Listen, I want to tell you something. You can hear from God on the backside of nowhere while you're looking in the face of a bunch of stinking sheep that belong to your father-in-law. God will meet with you when you get alone with Him. He's there to impress you. God's not going to impress us while we're strutting our Egyptian credentials. God's not going to impress us while we're trying to impress Him. Day in and day out, just sheep. Not the kind of stuff that impresses, but business is about to pick up. Verse 2, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. Now, if I were writing the Bible, that would be verse 3. The Bible would read like this if I was writing it. Verse 1, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the Mount of God, even to Horeb. And Moses got on his face and interceded with God and begged God to show him something. And after Moses had written his check to TBN and believed God and laid his hand on his satellite dish, God came out of heaven with an angel and blessed him. That's the RSV version. That's the Rick Seyfried version. That's the way it read. Moses don't have any warning. He's not asked God for anything. He's sitting there looking in the face of a bunch of sheep he'd probably like to kill. And all of a sudden, God, for no rhyme nor reason, simply because He's God and Moses is His child, simply because He's God and Moses is on the backside of nothing, God says to the angel of the Lord, He says, you speak to him. And thank God, Moses is about to hear from God. Preacher, does it still work that way? You better believe it still works that way. Preacher, don't God give you messages because you beg Him? God gives me messages that I don't even ask Him for. Well, I thought we had to work to get all this. You don't work to get nothing. You didn't work to get saved. You don't work to keep it. And you certainly don't impress God with your works in order for Him to bestow favors. All this stuff, if you do this, God will do this. Listen, I won't tell you something. When you couldn't do nothing, God did everything. It is all God. It's all God tonight. Moses had no clue. He wasn't looking for God. He wasn't expecting anything. All of a sudden, nothing. Next second, bang. There's a fire in the middle of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. He'd seen bushes burn before. I don't have a problem with spontaneous combustion in the desert over bushes. I don't have a problem with that. I have a problem with that with this bush. I don't have a problem. If the scientists want to say that, I don't care. It'll make a difference to me, but not this bush. This bush God lit. And Moses said, I'll now turn aside and see this great sight. Why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Listen tonight. When you're on the backside, there's nobody for you to impress. When you're on the backside, the only one that can impress you is God. And I just want to say tonight, he has impressed me many a time. In a matter of a few seconds, God arrests Moses' attention in verse 2, gives him instructions in verse number 4. The burning yet unconsumed bush taught Moses this simple lesson. The supernatural can enter the natural without destroying the natural. And he would burn in Moses for the next 40 years. People say it's amazing that that bush burned and didn't burn out. No, what's amazing tonight is that the Son of God lives in you. That's what's amazing tonight. That's what's amazing tonight, is that God in the person of His Son moved in to live with sinners like you and like me. He's an impressive God. Moses obviously impressed by a bush that burned but wasn't consumed, but I think he was just as impressed whenever the voice out of that bush said, Moses, Moses. Just when Do you know how long it'd been since he had heard anybody call his name? Them sheep didn't get up every morning and say, Moses. All they said was, bah. That's about it, I guess. He hadn't, bless his heart, he hadn't even heard his name in a long time. Last time you heard your name, was it your spouse cussing or threatening to take you to court? Was it your child running you down? Was it your parents speaking down to you? Was it a teacher maybe abusing your name or a preacher making you feel like that he wanted you to go to hell? When was the last time you heard your name? I want to tell you tonight, listen to the sweet voice of the God who sent his son to die for you. He knows you by name. He knows who you are and where you are. And Moses, listen, more to Moses than a bush burning was the fact there was a God in heaven who knew him by name and said, Moses. And he said to Moses, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes. Moses turned aside to see. He's on his way to the bush. And God said, it's all right to come close, Moses, but don't come too close. He said, take off your shoes, for the place you're standing on is holy ground. Moreover, he, the angel of the Lord, said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob. Not only did he remind Moses that I know you, but I knew them. The God who knew them is the God who knows you tonight. Three men, all three different, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and God knew all of them. When you're on the backside, there's nobody to impress you but God. Evidently, God hadn't impressed some of you. If you're lost tonight, look at Calvary. It ought to impress you to make your way to an altar, repent of sin, trust His name, and believe on Him tonight. Well, I'm not impressed with my mom and daddy's religion. If you're waiting on that to get to heaven, you ain't going to make it. You say, I'm not impressed with your preaching, preacher. If you're waiting on that, you're not going to make it. But look at bloody Calvary tonight. Look at an empty tomb. Look at what God did in His Son. Brother, if you're not impressed with that, there's nothing I can say tonight that'll bring you to Christ. There's no one on the backside to impress, and there's no one on the backside to impress you but God. Finally tonight, when you're on the backside along with God, you become willing to let the God who impressed you impress others through you. When you're on the backside and realize you have no one to impress, and the only one that can impress you is God, then you become willing to let the God who impressed you use you to impress others. That's what happens in the remainder of this chapter. Now Moses is reluctant at first, but he becomes willing. This man who is on the backside with nothing but a bunch of sheep will in a few days stand in Pharaoh's courts. This man's rod will turn into a serpent and eat the magician's snakes. This man's rod will part the Red Sea. That's impressive stuff. This man will stand at the base of Mount Sinai while God's thundering and lightning. He'll walk to the mount. He'll hear from God. He'll write it down. And the world still has not got over what God let Moses write down on the mountain. When you're on the backside, you can't impress anybody. The only one who can impress you is God. But if God ever impresses you, then at some point in your life, you'll let the God who impressed you use you to impress others. And the only thing that impresses others is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Why do you think us preachers pray for God to anoint us? Because we know what we say is not going to impress. We know tonight that what we do in a service is not going to impress anybody. I'm impressed with that preacher's outline. I'm impressed with that preacher's delivery. If that's all you're impressed with tonight, then really it don't take much to impress you. What I am impressed with tonight is a man like I've had many in my life who didn't have the education from Egypt to even read three verses of this Bible without stammering and struggling, and yet they've been alone with God enough that when they read it, even their mistakes brought me under conviction because they were in the presence of God. The backside of being alone with God. Moses, look at this. He didn't even bless his heart. He said in verse 11 unto God, who am I? Bless his heart, he don't even know who he is. This is the question people have used to get out of everything. Well, preacher, I'd like to serve God, but I'm searching for myself. I don't really know what God wants me to do. We've used that old excuse all the time. That's why some people go to college for 30 years and their parents pay for it, and they say, I'm trying to find my subject. Let me just throw this out. I don't know if this is biblical or not, but find the subject, then write the check. Don't write the check for 30 years while they're trying to find the subject. I don't know what I want to do. Been to medical school, been to veterinarian school, been to engineering school. I've been to flight school, and I think I want to be in charge of the badminton nets up at the Park Rec. And you know, I've changed my majors and this, this, and that. Moses said, God, I don't even know who I am. Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Look what God said to him in verse 12. God won't even answer that. Listen, this isn't about you knowing who you are tonight. This is about you knowing who God is. God said to Moses, I will be with thee. He said, I have sent thee. God said, Moses, it's not about you finding out who you are. It's about you finding out who I am. And the best way to find out who somebody is get along with them. Get along with them. Do you know him tonight? He revealed himself in verse 14 as I am that I am. Listen, God's not going to meet you in your past or your future. He'll meet you right now because he's an I am God. Musicians are coming tonight. Maybe you're so far from where you wanted to be tonight that you can't foresee getting beyond where you are. Maybe you're not willing to turn aside. Maybe God's been working in your heart these nights, but you've not been willing to turn aside personally and see what God is saying, what God's wanting to show you about himself. Maybe you know tonight what God wants, but like Moses, maybe you're reluctant, hesitant, or just plain afraid. Some of that's natural. But God can take you as he did Moses and that bush. God can do in you and through you whatever he so desires to do for his honor and glory. It's time to meet with God. And I don't care where you are tonight, front side or backside, don't be discouraged from getting alone with God. By the way, I've read the end of that story, and it comes out pretty good.
Amen.
Amen. Not just for one man, but for millions of people. It comes out pretty good.
Amen.
Would you stand with me tonight? If there's a need, a revealed need by God, why not come tonight and say, God, I know I'm on the backside. Speak to me, Lord. Let me follow your will. As we sing, you respond.